Mira a la izquierda, mira a la derecha. ¿Qué ves? ¿Dónde estás? In a world that seems to change daily, what will you do next? Welcome to the Next Steps Show with Peter Vasquez, a starting point for discussion y un poco de dirección. Buenas tardes, good afternoon, señores y señoras, friends, amigos y amigas, ¿cómo están? It's me, Cito, conservative New Yorker Peter Vasquez, as every day at noon, aquí en the WYSL Studio CC. Hoy tengo a la Voz de Libertad. ¿Cómo está, señor Voz de Libertad?
I'm doing okie dokie.
Okie dokie es muy bueno, es muy bueno. Hey, Bob.
That's as close as I get to Spanish.
Okie dokie. You know, actually, that's a used term in Spanish. We use it all the time growing up. My father would always say it.
See there? There you go.
I wonder if it's a generational thing, because now that I think about it, it was my father's age group that said it all the time.
Thanks very much for that. Appreciate it.
I'm just kidding. So, hey, check this out, Bob. Did you know that Romans, right, in the Bible, the book of Bible?
Oh, okay.
Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resist what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." I always found that interesting, Bob, because, you know, we live in a time where people are like, police, screw the police, or defund the police, right? Stuff like that. But the reality is there's biblical precedent for having police officers and law enforcement in general.
Well, yeah, it's consistent with, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Exactly.
And so...
Even though they had to do with taxes, but...
What? Oh.
Same. No, but the concept is the same, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Now, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to meet, right? I have the honor of introducing this individual. A 36-year law enforcement veteran and Monroe County's 49th sheriff. Right? With a background in the Rochester Police Department, the United States Army, and Chief of Police in the town of Greece, New York, our guest champions ethical leadership and veteran support. God, I love those two things. Join us, ladies and gentlemen, join us to discuss the state of Monroe County from a law enforcement perspective, ladies and gentlemen. I am very excited, can you tell, to welcome the Honorable Sheriff Todd Baxter. Bienvenido at Next Step Show, Todd.
Thank you, sir. So great to be here with you. It's great to be back down south here for a while, and the warmth down here down south, right? How far?
Oh, absolutely.
About 3 miles.
Well, we're below
Monroe
the Mason-Dixon
border,
line,
right?
Here. So, yeah.
It's nice to be down south, but thank you for inviting me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely, and I do think the weather does kind of jump up about 5 or 6 degrees coming away.
Get away from Lake Ontario.
Coming
right?
Well,
this time of year, that cold water up.
Although I have property on Canisius Lake, and I'll tell you, nothing is better than hanging out there in the winter times. Quiet lake, busy, but quiet lake, not a lot of, I haven't seen a lot of nonsense or crimes or anything like in the Ring of Fire days. You know, the sheriffs are great because parking is horrible, so they kind of, you know, let us park as long as it's safe. And it makes for a great little change, I think, a little change of pace for my everyday lives.
Yeah, but when you see that water, it just changes your whole attitude, doesn't it? Whether it's a lake, Ontario, Canisius Lake, but the ocean, it just changes it.
As a sheriff, I've seen people swimming almost in the middle of the lake every morning. The same couple goes out there and they'll swim. I mean, I don't know exactly how far, but it's a lot. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
good for them.
And then there was another guy that turned a... what do you call those things? A surfboard?
Yeah.
Into like a bicycle for the water.
It's ingenuity.
Very much so. Anywho.
Probably going to sell it and be a billionaire, and we're going to still be doing our jobs.
Yeah. But you know what, though, Sheriff? It's people like us and the work that we do that allow people to go out and do those kind of things. And you know, you took an oath, just like I took an oath when I, you know, joined the military to protect our Constitution so that we can go and do these things even if we don't agree with them, right?
Yeah.
But anywho, Sheriff, for our listeners, right, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, but not the bio that you have on a website? Like, what next steps did you take throughout your life that brought you to the Todd Baxter you are today?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll go back to, you mentioned the United States Army or serving. I had nothing after high school. I was literally on a path to go nowhere. And I joined the United States Army as a military police officer and fell in love with the career of law enforcement. So I put a lot on Uncle Sam, giving me the values and the culture that it takes to succeed in this career path. The next thing is my wife. You know, I would be nowhere without her. She became my campaign manager. You know, we never ran a campaign before, and just having those partners in life with you. And then, of course, my faith. You know, I took over Greece Police Department. I'm just giving you a quick overview of, I took over what was considered the most embattled police department in America at the time. Small police department, five guys arrested, one being the chief, three went to prison. And then I come rolling in on my white horse, and I spent almost every morning starting my day on my knees in my office. Praying for guidance, because you can't make that up. You do your best you can, but there's no rule book. There's no directions for, you know, rebuilding a police department.
No. The only thing you have is the ability to be able to pray and have that guidance.
Wisdom, yeah.
I would imagine, Sheriff, that the first task, I mean, job one, that when you took over in Greece, was morale. Yeah. I got to believe that the force felt lower than the curb. And that's a tremendous burden for you to carry personally.
You know, the burden, and this ain't a woe me story, but I was out there 4 years. I slept three nights. I remember the three nights I slept through the night. And it wasn't because the calls were coming in. It was because I'd wake up in panic. I'd wake up in sweat because it was a big lift. And there were 78 cops when I got there. I called for 100. There were 78 police officers. But they were the backbone. They ended up being the backbone of what we're going to build because they had been through the most intense internal investigation you can ever think of. One internal investigation in a police department causes upheaval no matter how you do it. It causes confusion, stress, rumors. They had over 800 open internal affairs cases at one time. They acquired guns. They had outside guns came in. $1 million spent to investigate that police department. So just that one stress of one internal, they had 800 open. So everybody was looking at everybody. Everybody was second-guessing everybody. There was hatred in the place when I got there.
Right.
Literally.
You left it way better.
From what I understand.
Lost a lot of hair.
So did I, but I had kids. You were in the military. I believe you left the 98th Division, which, again, thank you for your service in the military. I was in the 98th Division as well. I love all the commanders that we had there. What'd you do in the military?
So I was a military police officer. Again, mentioned that right out of active duty for 3 years. Well, I went to Korea, 2 years in Kansas. And then I went into reserve as soon as I did my three-year hitch. I spent most of the time as a drill sergeant, almost 10 years on the trail as a drill sergeant. Yeah. And then the rest of the time as a military police or a combat engineer instructor.
Gotcha.
Got activated twice post 9/11, and both one was Jersey and the other one was Indiana. That was my deployments.
Right.
Yeah, I never got sent overseas, but a lot of my good friends did, and a lot didn't come back. Five of them that I know personally, and that still tears my heart apart.
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely.
I know that feeling all too well. So you were out in Newark. The 98th Division that they had out there. There was right on Main Street. So when I was in the 98th Division, I did supply, and then the engineers or kind of the combat engineers were out there and the drill sergeants.
Yeah, so I never – so the combat engineer, OSIT, 12 Bravo OSIT, down at Fort Leonard Wood, I was always a stepchild coming in because I refused. I didn't refuse. You can't refuse Uncle Sam, right? But I never really changed my MOS to a 12 Bravo. I remained a military police for my whole 22 years as an MP MOS. So I did teach instructor school. For the combat engineers, but I never became a combat engineer, believe it or not.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, drill sergeant life is got to be fun because you got to do everything we do plus some.
Oh, yeah. You're up before all the soldiers get up, and you're going to bed after they go to bed, and it comes right back the next morning. There's no relief. Drills work.
Do you see any of that training really helping you in your role as sheriff these days, especially the drill sergeant training? I mean,
well, the drill sergeant training really set me apart in my police career. You know, as I went through, I came off active duty, I became a Rochester police officer, and then I went through drill sergeant school while I was a Rochester police officer. And those skills that you learn as a drill sergeant and then you implemented on the trail really set me apart in the RPD, where I became an instructor. I became the lead physical fitness instructor for the academy for almost a decade, taught our defensive tactics program, things like that. Those are all skills you learned how to teach and how to teach appropriately. As a drill instructor, you know, so it really launched my career as an instructor.
And teaching it appropriately is probably the core of everything there, right? Because you can't just, people vision these drill sergeants, right, as screaming and yelling and so forth, but that's not really what they're doing. There's a method behind it that's taught, and there's a purpose for it.
There's a method behind the madness, absolutely, and you want to prove they have the metal to survive on the modern day battlefield. That's what you're doing with these young people, right? You're molding them into soldiers to survive and take our war forward if we have to go. But they all learn individually. You know, they're 100. They don't come in as soldiers. We got to make them soldiers, right?
Absolutely.
So they come in as human beings. So you got to a la carte each one of them.
Yep. Yeah. Literally break them down.
Break them down.
And build them back.
And they all build up different.
Are you born and raised in Rochester?
So I was born in Cuba, New York, down in Allegheny County. But I moved up here when I was 1 year old. My father got a great job at Rochester Products. And so I was raised in the city of Rochester. I went to Jefferson High School where I met my sweetheart. And she's a Jefferson High School graduate, too. So we're proud graduates of the city school district.
Very nice, very nice. I ended up dropping out when I was in the 10th grade. Yeah. But that's just because people kept telling me, Sheriff, hey, what you see in front of you is all you got.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm like, well, what's the point?
Hope's a beautiful word, isn't it? Or it can hurt you if you got none.
Very much so. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here on the Next Step Show C. Today I have the honor to have the Honorable Sheriff Todd Baxter. Ladies and gentlemen, 346-3000. I'm sure you got a polite question or two. No te vayas. We'll be right back right here on the WYSL Studios.
In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified, general, or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
Youth for Christ Rochester is growing. With the help from the John R. Wegman Foundation, we're adding Saturday mornings back to basketball, while the Saunders Foundation brings back skills and drills for the spring and summer. Our middle school girls program will be starting in a second school this fall. Watch for a new name change for that program. But we need your help. Make a one-time gift of $300 or a monthly gift of $25 to sponsor a kid for a year. Go to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Now that the good weather's back, you'll want to make sure your vehicle is shipshape, whether it's for the daily commute or that vacation you're planning. For quality, affordable vehicle service, rely on Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge Road. Rock Auto has what your car, truck, or SUV needs. Oil change, brake service, suspension, or front end work, exhaust, air conditioning, and tires. Check their Google reviews as one of Rochester's best for customer satisfaction. Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge, just east of Mount Reed, 434-5010.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
And we thank our fine sponsors here on the Next Step Show. Those would be Ryan Murphy and Associates, Real Estate Appraisals, Residential and Commercial, and also Rock Auto Service on Ridge Road right near Mount Reed. Again, here's Peter.
Rock them autos. And hey, listen, thank you both for your support. Ladies and gentlemen, 184 shows every day at noon, 27,000 watts. And hey, you conservative New Yorkerican, what you waiting for to sponsor this show? Dan, thank you for calling the Next Step Show.
How you doing, folks? Hi, Sheriff. My dad spent 30 years at RP.
Oh, that's great.
Myself and two of my three brothers spent time, different times there.
Thanks for your service.
My dad used to refer to them as generous motors. In any case, Peter, your reading from Scripture is a perfect example of people taking from the Bible, you know, what fits to their personal biases. You know, if we followed that Scripture in 1776, we'd still be, you know, all honoring portraits of King George III. And in that vein, I give kudos to the Hamas and all the students that are fighting for the freedom of the Palestinians.
Yeah, we got it, Dan. Thanks. Appreciate the call. 585-346-3000. Give us a call. I'm sorry. Peter, did you want to react to that at all?
Well, not really, but you know what? I'll say this. Romans 13 verses 1 and 2, right, was absolutely very relevant in 1776.
Yes, and as usual, anything that you take from the Bible has to be read in context.
Absolutely. And Dan, listen, I'm sorry. On this whole issue, Israel, Iran, you're wrong, Papa, all day long. Keith, thank you for calling the Next Step Show.
Yeah, Dan is the last one of that who should be quoting from the Bible. Flat out, Dan. You're an anti-Semite, Dan. And my family name, Dan, if you heard it, is German, Dan. So take it from those of us of that heritage, Dan. You're an anti-Semite, even though you say you're not a hater. From me, Keith, with my German family name, you're an anti-Semite, Dan. Now to the sheriff.
I'm so glad my name's not Dan right now.
Exactly. Right.
Sorry, Keith. Go ahead, brother. What's your question?
Well, Peter said at the end of the last segment to have a polite question. The one thing, Sir Sheriff, you did not say about yourself, you changed your party affiliation. You were a Republican, and now you're a Democrat. They say that public officials change affiliation when they want to get the job to begin with or want to keep the job once the other party comes into power. So twofold, why did you feel the need to leave your Republican designation and the fact that your party, the Dems, have shown themselves to be so pro-criminal, and I need to hear from you more than, well, I share Baxter, I'm just a Dem and mind my own business.
All right. So if you let me answer your question, you can hear from me. Yeah, I appreciate the question, Keith. That's an honest question, and I appreciate the antagonistic of your question to the antagonist part. Listen, you're not going to win as sheriff in Monroe County as a Republican. You had an entrenched Republican that I thought I could do a better job as a sheriff. There was 600 deputies out of contract for over 5 years, as an example, and I wanted to come in because I love cops to do that job as sheriff, and I think I've done a good job, the best job I could possibly do over 6.5 years. But you do the math, and it's not going to happen. You're definitely going to unseat a Republican as a Republican. So there was a math issue there first. Second of all, you know, when I met with the Dem party, if you don't know Todd Baxter, I'm probably, outside of this current party I'm sitting in front of right now, one of the most conservative people you'll know in Monroe County. So I would never give up my conservative values, my conservative culture, my conservative norms. And I had that conversation with the Democratic Party, and they've never challenged me in 6.5 years on coming anywhere towards a progressive point of view or anything. And that doesn't mean I don't sit down with progressive people and talk to them all the time. Because I serve them, too. I have no problem doing that. I'm quite honest about who I am and what I do. But I am law enforcement. You know, you get in that position as sheriff, you're law enforcement. And you should be doing law enforcement not as a conservative, progressive, Democrat, Republican. You should be doing it with the letter of the law as best as you can with neutrality. So I hope that answers your question. You know, I got 600 deputies a contract within 90 days. And they were out of contract for 5 years. I'll just use it as one minor example of why I ran for sheriff. And ran as a Dem. I took care of cops. So I think that's a pretty conservative value if you think about it.
And so, veterans, because you never have forgotten about taking care of the veterans.
And I can go on for a week and a half. If you sit on the sideline and just complain and bitch, you're sitting on the sideline complaining and bitch. If you get in the game, so I'm in the game for 6.5 years. I've been in the game. I've been in the game with some people on the D's that don't like me. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the game. I'm on the playing field, so I can influence the playing field. Or I can sit on the sidelines and complain. So I've changed parties to intentionally get into the game and help in law enforcement. And think about what we went through in the last few years in law enforcement in Monroe County in 2020.
Absolutely. Keith, thanks for your call.
Yeah, great call. Great call. I don't mind answering that question at all.
Are you doing things differently as a Democrat sheriff than you would have if you were still, you know, a Republican candidate or a Republican in office?
Yeah. So first of all, if I was a Republican, I wouldn't be the sheriff. Right, it's a math issue in Monroe County.
Theoretically, I mean, I'm just talking about in terms of political conviction. Does that make any difference in how you view and deal with issues?
Oh God, no. You know, and that's what I sat down with the Democratic Party. I said, look, you know who I am, you know where I come from, and I'm not going to change. And if you ask me to change, I'm going to tell you no. And I don't need this job by any means. I love the job. But I could have stayed at the Veterans Outreach Center, you know, running a small organization with a $4 million budget and just 40 employees with not a lot of headache taking care of our most precious commodity, veterans. But I gave that up because I thought sheriff was what God was calling me to do. So if that was the path that God led me through, I'm going to take the path. And for those people that want to argue D's and R's and one is holier than thou, I've been part of both parties. We all got messy people in our party. Stop.
There's a lot of junk.
Republicans are great, or all Democrats are great. Stop. They're all human beings, and they all have good points, and they all have bad points. And we got to stop this foxhole thing. Yeah. You know, all or none.
As a sheriff, stupid. You shouldn't be Republican or Democrat. That's what I love about you. And I followed you, and I watch everything you do. And I can't say I agree with every single thing, but you most definitely have maintained not even the middle. You just maintained law enforcement.
Keep it down as much as possible down the center of the fairways, and it's not not easy by any means.
Oh, I can imagine.
I got to work with progressive Democrats in Albany to get stuff done. I have to get legislation passed. I have to get budgets approved, right? And so that doesn't mean I'm not anti them either. I'll work with anybody that wants to promote law enforcement or public safety. I don't care who you are.
Exactly. Me too. Mike Kennessy, thank you for calling the Next Step Show, my hero.
Never heard of him.
Hi, Sheriff. How are you?
Good, buddy.
How are you? Hi, Peter. Great. Just wanted to say, you know, thank you for giving me the opportunity to say that I probably support a Democrat.
Love you.
You're the most conservative. You're more conservative than a lot of the Republicans I know. So
absolutely.
I appreciate you so much. And I just want to say to Peter, the gentleman who called about Romans 13. What everybody stops with, everybody does with Romans 13 is they stop too short. And because that verse goes on to say that these rulers are put in your authority for your good. Mm-hmm. As soon as they stop doing good for you, according to God's rules, once they start asking you to do things that are against the rule of God, that's where you stop respecting that authority, because you choose God's rule first. And that's where everybody stops too short at that verse. That's all I wanted to say.
Mike, I appreciate that. Sheriff?
Yeah, first of all, he's a man of wisdom, and I love spending time with him because he grounds you also. And that's a good thing, especially when you have power. You know, mm-hmm. You should have people that are grounding you. Like Keith's question, I don't mind it at all because I have a lot of authority. I have a lot of power. People should question why they vote for Todd Baxter, because when they vote for me, they give me a lot of that. I'll just emphasize that point again. I have the ability, and it's a God-given ability. I can be on Jefferson Avenue or Jefferson Road in Pittsburgh and be just as comfortable in both environments. I can talk to Democrats and Republicans. I don't care. I can talk to progressives all day long.
Yeah.
I don't mind. We're going to find some commonality. It's my goal, right? And it doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything, but geez, stop with this us or them foxhole mentality.
And I'm glad you say that because, see, I have always viewed conservatism not as a political ideology, so as American values. And if you stand with America, I'm good with you.
I'll go even simpler than that. I don't like fast change of anything, right? Yeah. That's my personality, slow change, even in my own household. Let's not do drastic changes. That's a conservative, not ideology, that's a conservative trait that people, so that's all. I mean, I'm just a slower mover, I guess. I like to move the pendulum a little slower than everybody else, and more progressive people want to do jumps. That's different personalities even sometimes, right? Not a little political ideology, but when people get the us or them or one and none, stop. I don't have time.
There are some policies that have come down, Sheriff, in the last 2 years. It's no surprise. You know what we're going to talk about here. Criminal justice reform, cashless bail, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And then you juxtapose that with the increase in crime stats, the car thefts and the carjackings and all that sort of thing. And people make this leap, I'll call it a leap of illogic, where they see Sheriff Baxter in charge and you changed from Republican to Democrat to get the job done, as you've explained to all of us, and they draw a line between those two things and saying, okay, Sheriff Baxter's a sellout. He's just going along with Albany and the Monroe County Democrats just to not make waves. What do you say to that?
Yeah, first of all, if anybody's making waves in Monroe County about criminal justice reforms, I think it's me. I mean, and I don't do that for any political reasons. I truly believe some of these reforms, although well-intended, went too far. And there were a number of them, six huge ones within 3 years. It's just a cultural change that we can't even keep up with, let alone a change of the laws and all the stuff that comes with it. We could talk all day long about those things. But I'll go back to my earlier statement. The fact that I'm at the governor's office knocking on her door and she answers the door and I'm telling her these are not correct.
And you do this regularly,
yeah, and they opened the door for me, right? So maybe if I was an R, the door wouldn't even open. But I am now into that office and allowing to get my point of view across as public safety because that's my job in Monroe County. And they told me in November 2019, just specifically about bail reform, come back with data. And I was in the governor's office like, what data is in my world, right? They're not little dots on a map. Those are human beings. That's someone's mom's getting a knock on the door at 3 a.m. That's your data point. These are the conversations I'm having with governors, the number two, Marcus Soler, with all our legislators, right? So, again, going into the arena, I could sit on the sideline and just do press conferences and pound my fist, right? But I'm in the door now.
And it's not trenches.
Fun sometimes because they don't want to answer the door, but they open the door, and maybe I get a little influence. We can do all the press conferences, bitch, all we want, but I don't know how much influence we're getting. No one's listening. Right?
You're putting feet. You're putting action.
Yeah, yeah.
Now
they
got to
look me in the eye at least, tell me no, instead of just going, he's a silly guy in some press conference.
57% is what you won your last. I mean, that speaks volumes. Ladies and gentlemen, in Monroe County, the crime is characterized by a mix of different crime types, and we'll talk about that when we get back from break here in just a couple of minutes. So no te vayas, ¿por qué? Porque your conservative New Yorker still has more to say, and of course, we still have the Honorable Sheriff Todd Baxter. 346-3000, regresamos.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
Welcome back to the Next Step Show, ladies and gentlemen. No te olvides que today on this show we have the Honorable Sheriff Todd Baxter from the great Monroe County. Ed from the town of Perrington, sir, thank you for calling the Next Step Show. How may I help you?
Hola, amigo.
Hola, vaya, ¿cómo estás?
Ed, Eduviges, pero me dicen Ed porque no pueden pronunciar mi nombre.
Ah, I entiendo,
pero,
okay.
But I heard Fort Linderwood.
Or Lost in the Woods.
Sure. Lost in the Woods. Roger that.
What's that?
Roger that.
I took basic training there in 59.
Oh, God bless. That's amazing. It's changed quite a bit.
Yeah. They didn't call it Little Korea for nothing. But I went to Fort Linderwood because I had to fly to Fort Carson. And being a little kid from South Texas, I didn't want to fly anywhere. But anyways, Sheriff, I want to thank you for your service, and I salute you. And we got to do something with the city there. It's too much.
It
the
is.
Mayor there, he talks big, but that's about it. But anyways, I don't know what your topic was, but
it's Fort Linderwood, no.
So you're Republican, Democrat?
Yeah, so I...
What difference does it make? As long as you're doing your job, that's what matters.
Amen.
Yeah, and every 4 years, people can... And again, I don't wrap myself around this title, although it's a blessing and it's a godsend, but I can go dig ditches tomorrow. I'm good. I've done 36 years as a cop in three different great police departments, so I do this because I love it and I think it's a God calling, but if people want to, you know... vote for me because I have a D or an R, then I think they're taking away their own freedom. Yeah, that's what they're doing. You got a God-gifted freedom of a vote for who you want to vote for, not for a party. And that's coming from a pretty conservative guy.
Yeah. Ed, thank you so much for your call, sir.
Thanks for your service, brother.
Sheriff, absolutely. Thank you for your service. Sheriff, I got to say that I am glad you are in the position that you are. Regardless of whatever your political affiliation. Yeah. Again, I've watched you work, and I saw what was going on in Greece. I saw what you did at the Veterans Place. So I'm glad you're there.
And you
know what? If the Republicans ever thought of running somebody against you, I would probably be like, WTF. I mean, this guy is rock solid. That's a political game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anywho, that's neither here nor there.
I got to bite on that just for a second. And again, I ran against a good guy, a Republican, a good guy, 16 years as sheriff, right? He wasn't corrupt. He was a good person. I ran for a leadership principle more than anything else, right? So with that being said, my point is the competition's a good thing. The fact that people could run against you keeps you on your toes, keeps you honest, right? Keeps you working hard. So I like the competition part of it. I don't mind if someone runs against me. I think that keeps me even more motivated to do my job better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And not to take away from people running. That wasn't what I was saying. But, you know, it's just you're that good. Anyway, so before break, I had said that Monroe County is characterized by a mix of different crimes, right?
Yeah.
Overall crime rate is approximately 19.51%. I think it was as of 2022 when I saw this. per 1,000 residents. That's for, violent crime, I believe. Violent crime in Monroe County is reported to be 2.111 per 1,000, which does seem to be a little higher than the national average. But that's not because of the work you're doing. That has everything to do with the policies that are being put in place, like Raise the Age. So when I introduced the show today, I had said we were going to talk a little bit about the state of Monroe County from a law enforcement perspective, and I'd like to spend the rest of the show talking about how is it that issues of bail reform, Raise the Age, clean slate, and even the discovery rules for attorney, how they're creating some of these stats that are causing these high numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt that the reforms had a negative effect on public safety, right? And we're going to try and qualify and quantify that for decades to come. You know, what was the cause and effect of some of these? But I'm a law enforcement professional. I've been doing this for 36 years. When you have legalization of marijuana, when you have Raise the Age, when you have the HALT Act, when you have less is more, when you have discovery reform, and then you have bail reform, and then you throw on the HALT Act, which is bail reform inside of jail, if you don't know, all within 3 years. Those are all massive changes to our criminal justice system. So just that causes chaos, right? That's just that causes chaos in the systems that work in those, you know, law enforcement, prosecutors, public defenders, judges, let alone the criminals have no idea what's right or wrong. We keep on telling them you're okay, don't worry about it, because the names like less is more, right? The names like least restrictive means, right? These terms that we put in these laws tell people, laws create culture and sells them. It's all about less is more. It's all about, what are we saying when we say that, right? And none of these six massive reforms had anything to do with victims. Not one talked about a victim. And, you know, they didn't talk about what we're going to do with the victims of those crimes that people are being accused of. So we can definitely look at all those reforms and say we can tweak them just a little bit, each one, and make ourselves better. Keep the tenets of the reforms true and make ourselves a little better. And that's any business does that all the time. They adjust their business plan according to the environment that's playing out in front of them. We did it in the military, right?
Absolutely.
As soon as you crossed the line of departure, you started going into your what-if statements, you know, and we prepared those for weeks ahead of time. What if, and the if-then statements. But our government refuses to do that, because they're in that foxhole, us versus them.
I worked for a general, and I'll tell you, those what-if sessions were almost daily, it seems, sometimes, because he wouldn't take a step that was going to impact the lives and change culture.
Right.
Yesterday's show was all about what's happening in the shift in culture. You had mentioned that a lot of these laws don't really address the victims. You're right, but they surely do create a lot of victimhood mentality that they're pushing. Can you describe Raise the Age? I mean, that's a term that's been thrown out. It's law. You also mentioned the HALT Act. Can you just kind of explain that for our listeners so that they know what that means from law enforcement, not the politics?
So Raise the Age, the intent behind Raise the Age in generality here is take 16 and 17-year-olds out of jails and put them in a special confinement area if you're going to detain them when they're accused of a crime. But they're not being altered by, you know, adult murder suspects and adult rapists and adult, you know, people that are entrenched in the criminal environment. So that kind of makes sense. But when you don't have a place to put them that's safe and secure, like our Children's Detention Center, we're just finally building that here in Monroe County. So for the last 3 years, kids have been out there. We've been out there as a sheriff's office twice in Rush, retaking the place over because it was so out of control.
Wow.
Bringing some of those kids back downtown to the jail in an isolated area because they can't touch adults. And a lot of those kids didn't want to go back to the Children's Detention Center because it was chaos. Again, the intents are good, but if they're creating the laws so fast, so furious out of emotions, they're not even building the infrastructure of a jail, a detention center for the juveniles, yet forcing all these kids out of where they've been staying since we were kids, right? Yeah. So even that's the point I'm making, that if you're going to create laws, talk to the end users, right?
Isn't that what we have representatives for? Isn't that the whole purpose of elections?
Here, and I'm going to take a lot of people. You got elected as assembly or senator. You know, you're not a medical doctor. You're not a school teacher. You're not a cop, right? You're not a firefighter. You represent those things. Get to know those people. When you create laws around those people, at least have the gall to sit down with them and talk to them. I'm going to create laws around teaching. Sit down. Don't listen to some think tank. Don't listen to some people in Albany. Come talk to some local teachers and say, if I implement this law, how will that affect you? We have the refusal to do that with public safety.
Wow.
We have experts somewhere. I can't figure out where they are, but I can tell you they're not helping anybody on Clinton Avenue, and they're definitely not helping the people in my box stores in Henrietta. They lost multiple details last year, retail theft. And the four stores that let us look at their statements, their profit and loss, they had just the four stores that we looked at had $7 million unreported theft.
Wow.
They wrote it off, right? But they didn't write it off. What'd they do? Raise the prices, and we all pay for it. we can afford it. What about the people on fixed income? Why are poor people paying for that increased inflation at our box stores, and the criminals are just walking out with their parents' tickets?
Not to mention dealing with the crime right there in front of their house, or nighttime shootings with 2-year-olds in the bedrooms.
You're down on the avenue. You know that grandmas have kids sleeping under the bed.
Yeah, they do.
Because of the bullets coming through the house. This is America, right? We used to not go under the bed because that's where the boogeyman was. Now they sleep under the bed. We're not making that stuff up, people. Yep. People are living in fear in our own community. And I'm public safety. So, you know, my point is that we're getting our butt kicked in public safety. We're losing, right? And that takes the hell. That pisses me off. You know, how can we say this is a success? Or at least all I'm asking people is sit down and let's make some improvements to each one of these laws. And needs just a little improvement. That's all.
And then you have the PR component too, Sheriff, that comes out of this. I mean, recruiting new officers, the morale factor, once again, within the force, it affects everything.
Yeah, well, first of all, with the 2020 experience, and again, some of it that was just, you know, what we've seen with some police departments and police officers and individuals, but, you know, as a whole, the hundreds of thousands of jobs we take a year, you know, in our community here in Monroe County and Livingston County, how many of those are positive? Almost every one of them. You don't hear about any of them, right? Because they're all negative calls. That's what we go to for a living. These guys are great servants. They're great human beings. As we know, Tony Mazurkowicz, a good friend of mine, they give it all sometimes. And that's honorable and that's noble, right? But what we've done is changed the narrative of law enforcement, and it's hard to recruit people in this honorable profession, this profession I fell in love with and loved for 36 years. Because no one's sitting home right now going, hey, Johnny, when you grow up, you want to be a cop? And they're like, they're having the opposite conversation. Hey, Johnny, you want to be a firefighter? You want to go in the military, right? So I equate it to this is our Vietnam, right? Yeah. This is our Vietnam in law enforcement. We got to swing that pendulum back that these are the way we look at soldiers now because of the Vietnam experience, and God bless those guys. But we've changed that paradigm. We've got to change the paradigm of law enforcement. These are honorable servants. They're noble. They're great people. They're great human beings that would sacrifice all for you, a total stranger. That's pretty cool.
You know, I applied to be RPD when I got out of the military. Yeah. They came back and said, no, you've got the propensity of having a problem with authority. I'm like, I've worked for a freaking general. What does that mean? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go nowhere, because when we get back, we've got more to talk about with the Honorable Sheriff Baxter here, from Monroe County. No te vayas. We'll be right back.
585-346-3000. Got one more segment to take your calls. Want to chat with the sheriff or vent about something? 346-3000. We'll be back.
In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified, general, or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
Ready for a getaway that's exhilarating and serene? You're ready for Destination Woodcliff, a one-of-a-kind hotel and spa. Dive into relaxation at indoor and outdoor pools, or tee off at the 9-hole USGA-rated golf course. Explore the great outdoors with hiking trails and other activities before savoring Horizon's modern kitchen and wine bar featuring live music. When the sun sets, gather around the fire pit for stories and s'mores. Make lifelong memories at the Woodcliff Hotel and Spa. Book your escape today at woodcliffhotelspa.com.
Now that the good weather's back, you'll want to make sure your vehicle is shipshape. Whether it's for the daily commute or that vacation you're planning, for quality, affordable vehicle service, rely on Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge Road. Rock Auto has what your car, truck, or SUV needs. Oil change, brake service, suspension, or front end work, exhaust, air conditioning, and tires. Check their Google reviews as one of Rochester's best for customer satisfaction. Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge, just east of Mount Reed, 434-5010.
Next Steps with Peter Vasquez on the WYSL stations.
Next Steps with Peter Vasquez and his furry friends, brought to you by Ryan Murphy & Associates Commercial and Residential Real Estate Appraisals. Give them a call first. You're battling some tax assessment issue or whatever. Ryan Murphy & Associates is R-Y-N-N-E Murphy. Also by Rock Auto Service on Westridge Road, right near Mount Reed. Again, here's Peter.
Thank you, Senor Savaj. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, we've got the sheriff on today. But don't call and ask him about your tax assessments, by the way. That'll be Ryan Murphy and Associates. See? Sheriff, again, I can't even, I mean, I just, the fact that you're here having a conversation with our listeners is just astonishing to me. I mean, it's just great. You know how many invites I send out that to leaders and they're like, no, or I even had one say, yeah, I'll do it, but I don't want to take live calls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, that's kind of weird. You know, the whole purpose is to converse with people.
Amen.
So we've got about 10 minutes left. We talked about raise the age. Quickly, discovery reform. Not a lot of people know about this, but when this changed, this actually made it not only difficult for attorneys to be able to bring forth a case, but for officers to be able to prove a case. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so discovery, just for the average person, that's when we collect evidence against someone, we accuse them of a crime. We need to present that evidence for your defense. You've been accused of a crime, haven't been convicted of a crime, and we present that as discovery. We allow you to see the evidence we gathered against us so you can prepare your defense against that. That's a beautiful thing in America, right? That's a great constitutional right we all have. So traditionally, the delay in discovery, the intent behind the discovery reform was the delay in presenting discovery sometimes kept people incarcerated and they'd eventually say, you know what, I'll just plead to a charge, right? Because they don't know what cards are held against them. So that makes sense. Again, the tenet makes sense. But they initially came out that all discovery had to be turned over within 30 days. Right. Some of our investigations, even post arrest, aren't done for another 45, 50 days with Ring cameras. You know, if I'm accusing you of a burglary at 3 o'clock in the morning, around 3 o'clock in the morning, I got to go look at 10, 15 Ring cameras now. And I got to look an hour before and an hour after of all that footage to see when you penetrated that camera. Right. And then collect it as evidence. Right. Just think about the man hours right there just on Ring cameras.
And that's one case.
That's one case of a burglary around 3 o'clock in the morning that we're accusing you of.
And then we have one or two a month. Right.
Yeah. And we got to have that in a complete package turned over to the district attorney. And then the district attorney's got to share that in discovery, right? Which everybody agrees with. But so that we revolted hard on that one. I mean, that's the one we said that's like bail reform is for law enforcement. Discovery is like that for our DAs. It was impossible to work and they were dropping cases, not intentionally. They just couldn't get it done, and the cases were getting dropped. And criminals were walking free. But the other side of it, justice was not provided for the victims of the crime also. So they did give us an extension of 45 days. They passed a law. They made those tweaks we were begging for, you know, and is 45 days perfect in every case? No. And I would even say in discovery that if you're in custody, you should have that discovery within 45 days. If you're out of custody and the trial's not going to be for 6 months, what's the hurry? Why do we put this artificial term, you know? And then I could prioritize my manpower on what I'm going to do to prepare cases for the presentation in court. So it's still not perfect, but that was one they actually got back with us and listened to us because they realized, man, that was a big error they made. You know, 30 days was just unreasonable, let alone it couldn't be done.
You know, it's interesting. You get a quick response on something that most people don't really know about.
Right.
But that, you know what, though, Sheriff? That's what happens when R's and D's and the middle run long.
We still protect the tenets of the reform and take care of our victims and even, you know, we're taking care of everybody in that solution to that problem.
Could I get your opinion on the Second Amendment? I mean, what does it mean to law enforcement?
You know, it's hard to say what it means to law, but I know what it means to me.
Defining factor of law enforcement right now.
I appreciate that. So I got 2,000 cops cringing right now in Monroe County because that's who hired him to represent me. I love the Second Amendment. I love the idea behind the Second Amendment. I love teaching people firearms. I had a couple of people riding with me last night. They're just getting their pistol permit and they never shot before. And I was like, let me take you out. Let me just show you the principles of firearm safety and the difference between marksmanship shooting and combat shooting. And I'm a huge fan. You know, I also believe that comes with a lot of responsibility.
Absolutely.
And that should be tendered. I like the idea that now we have to train. We have to learn something, in particular New York State law, about defending yourself. Because God forbid you use that weapon and you don't understand that you used it in an appropriate time or appropriate place. Now you're facing a lot of liability, plus, you know, potential incarceration. If you only knew the law and practiced the law, you could protect yourself better, right? And exactly. So I'm a big fan of training, too. I think that was a good move. Some of this other stuff, I mean, we can go to the SAFE legislation, right? And you just look at the data post SAFE. How'd that work out, right? Mm-hmm. And what's a bayonet lug have to do with, you know, a school shooter? What's a pistol grip have to do with a school shooter? We're not addressing the problems of school shooters. We're making these, again, emotional reactions to these, you know. I've been a cop for 36 years. I never seen anybody put a bayonet on the M&M4 and commit murder with it, right? It's just, so why? But yet, that's what we're arguing about. We're arguing about bayonet lugs. We're arguing about pistol grips. We're arguing about flash suppressors.
Bump stocks.
Yeah, this has literally nothing to do with the crime that we're seeing in front of us, and whether it's targeted violence like school shootings or what we're seeing in mass shootings in the city of Rochester.
Unless you're a politician, it doesn't really make any sense. So I wanted to, you guys are doing something that initially when I saw it, and I say you guys, as in the Monroe County Sheriff's Office for Surveillance, and when I first read it, I'm like, oh, man, that really does seem intrusive.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I took a step back, and I was thinking, well, wait a minute. If I were law enforcement, what would I do? And I started becoming a little bit more intrigued, still scared as heck over
sure,
it, but a little bit more intrigued. And I'm referring to your Connect Monroe County initiative. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me reference that as the FUSUS, FUSUS system. Can you tell us about that and maybe ease some of our concerns?
Yes, sure, absolutely. And when we build out these systems, we think of both, again, of someone from a conservative lean and a progressive lean. What would their problems be with this? And one of them is the big brother watching, right? And we're free in America. No one should be tracking us around and following us around, whether it's via technology or a car behind you, right? There's laws against things like that. So with that being said, we also know that there's technologies out there that can help solve crimes, can help us find missing kids. You know, the other day we had a kid abducted in Henrietta, and people don't even know the whole backstory, but there was a homicide down south that this whole story is related to and stuff. So we thought this kid was really in danger. And we had a car description that in the future we hope to put into these camera systems, and it can pick up those cars and actually track where the car is moving around Monroe County and point us to where this kid might be, right? So with that being said, when you develop these technologies, you only use them for within the Constitution, a New York State Constitution, within the federal Constitution. So when we look at these things, we look at them with cause, right? And DeBoer is a case law that came out in New York State talking about when a police officer is allowed to intrude in your personal space, in your personal freedom, in your liberty. And they talk about four levels. So when we talk about using these technologies, we want to make sure we're somewhere in that DeBoer reasonable suspicion. There's a cause for us to be looking at your car, trying to track your car. Or there's a robbery pattern that's going on, in this black pickup truck's used in the robbery pattern for the last three nights of stores getting hit in the west side of the county. Why not use technology to look for black pickup trucks?
Absolutely.
What that does, think about the other side of it. Now we're not out stopping every black pickup moving through the west side of the county, right, just because we're looking for black pickup trucks. Now we're looking for one particular pickup truck that might have a dent in it, right, that a camera could pick up and go, that's the pickup truck we're looking for. We're only pulling over one person as opposed to every black pickup truck driving down the street.
Wow.
You know, so it's we are definitely concerned. We take it very serious about protection of people's freedoms. We're asking people to share their Ring cameras with us, but we don't turn that on until we call you and say, hey, there's a burglar. We just chase them through your backyards in your neighborhood. Would you like to flip on your cameras and look and let us look for the last 10 minutes and 10 minutes forward, right? And then we shut back off and you shut it off. And we audit that and you can look at any time we looked at the cameras. You got to turn them on. But DPW has cameras. The fire departments have cameras. The banks have cameras.
And you guys can see all that. That's all public. Taxpayers.
And if they want to share it with us, right? But even when they share it with us, we still do it with cause. We don't, the only thing that's any different is like the blue light cameras you see in the city.
Right.
But everybody knows that, you know, that's the public watch. You know, we've all agreed that that's an acceptable amount of intrusion that we want. But when you start looking at other people's cameras, it's with cause. We start looking at your license plate and tracking you. We're not just doing that because it's my ex-girlfriend, right? I want to see where she's going. That's like, we think that guy's wanted. We think he's doing crimes. Not just think, it's DeBoer, right? Are we at a level 2 DeBoer, level 3 DeBoer? You know, so there's a lot of thought going into this, and there's a lot of protection of people's freedoms, including over-surveillance of law enforcement. I'm not interested in that.
Thank you so much for that. What kind of advice, or if you don't mind sharing some advice with our listeners, we call them Next S advice. Can you share anything quickly?
Yeah, you know what? I think we hit one. I didn't think about saying this until we started talking. Look, get off the us versus them thing. This is America. We're supposed to have debates. We're supposed to have counterpoints. And then we're supposed to come to some kind of consensus as a group. And we're not always winning when we get that consensus. But, you know, we got to stop the us versus them. We're Americans. Let's don't agree all the time, but let's love each other.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was the Honorable Sheriff Todd Baxter from Monroe County. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Say it with me. Leadership is the beacon that guides me, for it's through selfless service that I illuminate the way for others to find their greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, here in the WYSL, Your Voz de Libertad, the Next Step Show, Junto Conservative New Yorican, will always back the blue, right? And no te olvides, te amamos.